Okay, good evening, good evening, good evening. I got a story. I saw a story which I'm a bit suspicious. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm really asking if you heard it, because the story I read it in a there's a weekly Dvar Torah which I get from Bnei Brak, from wherever. I don't know. It's really a very nice Dvar Torah every week. It sends it. And there was a story which took place in London during COVID. And I did drink something, but I don't know if, I don't know what it says. Please, I'm not sure it's, I have a suspicion it's not 100% the way it's presented. But I'm going to share with you, and perhaps you can clarify. So what he said was, it was Hanukkah, exactly Hanukkah during COVID. So that's how many years ago now? Hanukkah? COVID,
the real, in February.
So it's, I suppose, the 20, probably 21. Yes, yeah, so it's exactly 2 years ago. Yeah, I think he said Toshin Pialet. Yeah. So what happened was, apparently, you may have heard it, and then you'll know it's true, that there was one of the very big bakeries in London produced during Hanukkah, obviously, a huge amount of donuts. And before they it was going out for sale, it turned out the owner found out that the oven was switched on by a goy, which thereby makes the whole batch of hundreds, or perhaps even thousands of donuts, were now considered bishlakum and very questionable and problematic. Now, this particular person who has gone to certain hashkocha, he asked the rabbinate on it was with. What they should do, and they told him that actually, you know, there's a remark that Paskins on the very big financial, you can actually be making in those circumstances. There is a room for leniency. Now we actually discussed that this might not be considered Hefson Morba, right? Is it Hefson Morba or not?
Well, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, I know, but we learned yesterday, we learned last week that Hefson Morba is, do you lose money or you're not gaining money?
You can lose money
while the jam.
The ingredients.
Because all the ingredients is not Epsom. The ingredients of a donut: flour, oil, jam. It's not Epsom over, arguably.
In big bulk. I mean, of course it is.
Okay, fine. Anyway, that's what the rabbinate paskened, that it is Epsom over and it's actually allowed to be lenient. However, this owner decided that, no, it doesn't feel right to give to his clientele, to his customers, to give donuts which are really reliant on, pardon? We could be relying on such a cool. I said it doesn't feel comfortable, and therefore Paskin, no, I'm not going to sell it. Despite the fact that Olz tried to convince him to be lenient, he decided against it. So I got a phone call, and one of his friends said, "What are you going to do with all those donuts?" And he says, "Well, I have no choice. I'm going to put them in the bin." He said, "No, actually, before you put them into a bin, why don't you? The hospitals are full of, the hospitals are overstretched." And there's so many people, especially in the COVID departments, in the COVID floors. Why don't you just give them out there and you say, you know, you make a Kiddush Hashem, whatever, if you've got a few thousand donuts and you give them out and it's going to do some Kiddush Hashem and publicity. And it's a nice idea. Instead of just wasting them, I might as well just give them out and make people happy and enjoy it. And that's exactly what he did. He distributed in, I think, two or three hospitals. He doesn't say the details of which hospitals, would have been helpful. He says he gave out two or three hospitals, and it was a very big, he made a very huge PR. And interestingly, it was so machmir that he even told the people that were distributing the donuts, he told them to take a few boxes of donuts which are actually baked, again, which are not bishlakum for sure, which are kosher, because it is to give, if it is their spot in Eden, they should not be relying on those donuts, rather give them other donuts, which is certainly not bishlakum. So that's how stringently he went. He gave them out. He gave them all out. Right. And it was a shame, and it was very nice. A few months later, he gets a phone call from what appears to be a random guy, that he was a recipient of one of those donuts, and he has got his multi-million enterprise. He's got a huge company. Again, I don't know the detail of the company. I wish I knew. And he said himself he liked those donuts very, very much. He's Bochshem Betta and everything. And he now wants to make this very huge, he's got this huge event or whatever it is. And he chose, and he wants to give one of the items he wants to give out, one of the food that he wants to give was actually donuts. And they would like to make a very substantial order of donuts. Very, very substantial. Many, many times over what he actually gave out for free. And so from the potential loss, what turned out to be was a very, very great financial gain. So this is the story which I saw. Pardon? You've heard this before? Oh, yeah? It could be. It could be. I have a few. Well, you don't believe it. Why don't you believe it? It could be.
I can believe it.
What? Yeah. Okay, so that's, it would be nice to have more details to confirm. Okay. Very nice story. Rabbi Yisrael, so some, we are learning this week more on Hilchos Tefillah, some really, 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 really exciting halachas. Some of it is very well known, and some of it is very not known. We'll be sharing this week, we'll be discussing about the halachas of Beis HaKnesset a little bit. We'll be learning about the halachas about where you should be positioning yourself when you daven Shemoneh Esrei. We'll be learning about various halachas with regards to Sidurim, and about the construction of a Beis HaMedrash, and we'll be learning generally where, in which area of the shul you should be sitting. Then we're going to be learning also about what dress code for Shemoneh Esrei is, and the dress code. So we'll be learning about the jackets and hats, and we'll be learning about the clothing, and we'll be learning about the belts, and about the... Everything, yeah, exactly. That's it. Everything will be discussed this week by Ezra Hashem. Now, the first thing, before we proceed with Seif Yudzayin, where we're holding, I want to just mention something, which I was surprised, as I was looking at these halachos of Shabbos, I was surprised that it's not mentioned explicitly. What's your opinion on that? We learned last week, there is a halachic definition, how much you have to, how long, how far you need to travel to get to a minyan. And we learned that, what's the parameters?
Depends if it's in front of
you. Very good. Depends if it's in front of you or behind you. Assuming that it's behind you, in other words, you're not going that direction anyway. So the halacha is a mil. A mil is normally translated into how many minutes? 18 minutes. And normally we consider the mil to be 18 minutes. So we gotta travel 18 minutes to get to a minyan. Unless you're anyway going that way, then it's four times 18. But if you're going out of your way to go to a minyan, it's 18 minutes. So now the question is as follows, and I'm very surprised you not discussed thoroughly in the postgame. What happens if you're davening in a set? You're davening in a minyan. Imagine you are you're in the city mincha time, and you know you've got to catch this mincha now in Western Marble Arch. Yeah, good one. Yeah? Okay. Now, it happens to be today is Tuesday, whatever, and it happens to be just 9 of us there for Mincha. 9. 9 people there. Probably doesn't happen. Probably, I'm sure the minyan is bigger than that. But imagine, now there's 9 people. Now, you're making a few phone calls and text messages and everything, and you just start it. Now, one guy says, I'll be there in 15 minutes. I can make it in 15 minutes. I'm the other side. I'll be there in 15 minutes. Maybe a cab driver. I can be there in 15 minutes. Now, you know, as we say in Yiddish, Yon Spilkes, you got to do this, you got to do that, you have another appointment, you've got a phone call, you've got to do this. But now, you can daven Yechidus now, or you can wait the 15 minutes. Now, in 15 minutes, you're going to have a minyan. You know, 15 minutes doesn't mean 15 minutes, it's probably going to be 18 minutes. The question is like this now. We know you've got the halachic, halachic requirement to travel 18 minutes for a minyan. What's going to be my question?
Anyway.
Yeah. Does that also mean that I need to wait for a minyan for 18 minutes if I'm on site? And guess what? It's not mentioned in the post scheme at all. So I know I need to travel 18 minutes for Vadai minyan. By the way, I didn't mention that last week. Well, do you need to travel 18 minutes for Sofik minyan? So if it's an unreliable minyan, you're Mincha Midtown, and you know that, which one is an unsafe minyan? Deutsche Bank. I don't know, I'm just guessing, I just see it in the... I know. It's unsafe? Unsecure? Okay, that's unsecure. That's like sometimes... So you can travel 18 minutes. You're the other side. It's the only minion is 18 minutes. That's the only one within 18 minutes. What's called? 18 minutes...
Parameter.
Parameter is that unsafe, unsecured minion. Do I need to go 18 minutes for Suffolk Minyan? The answer is clearly no. You got to travel 18 minutes for Vada Minyan. But if the Vada Minyan is beyond 18 minutes, you don't need to go. If the Suffolk Minyan, the only Minyan you have is a Suffolk Minyan, you don't need to travel 18 minutes, or you don't have to travel for a Suffolk Minyan, only for Vada Minyan. That's the person who has a Suffolk Darbonon. That's how they take it. Now, so going back to the question over here. So if I know I'm going to have a Vada Minyan in 18 minutes, but I need to wait here 18 minutes until this gentleman shows up, is it the same or not? Do I need to wait 18 minutes for my Minyan? Or, gentlemen, the Minyan is not happening, I'm off. Tack. Interesting question. Very interesting question. Could happen Shachis, could happen Mincha, could happen Mare.
Is he a Vada that he's turning up?
Yeah, I'm assuming he is.
I mean, because often you go to Minyan, oh yeah, someone's coming. And
yeah,
they don't.
They don't. Yeah. So I'm assuming that he is. He's a reliable fellow. He's on his way. What do you think? You can track him on Uber. You can see where he is. Would you wait 18 minutes? You have to wait. Do you need to wait? Just like you need to travel 18 minutes, you need to also wait 18 minutes for him.
If you don't wait, then they've lost their minute.
Yeah. Perhaps. Yeah, so the answer is yes, probably yes. It's probably no difference between traveling and staying on site. It's probably the same halacha.
So what about to go? I've often had this shaila that I get to a minyan within 18 minutes, but it's going to take me a lot longer to get to where I need to go afterwards because it's not really on my way. And
so that's
by the time I get, I hit traffic and whatever.
It's more than 18 minutes. It's now 18 minutes.
Now it's within 18. Well,
yeah, that's what counts. It's that way that counts.
I'm going to lose that big time after.
Yeah, I see. But it's probably within the halachic shit that you got to go. Yeah, it probably is. Yeah, okay. Simon Sadisif. Sif Yitches, the halach is as follows. Beis HaMedrash Kavua, Kodosh Yosef Beis HaKnesses. So there is two kinds of Tefillah locales, two types of places where a person could have. One is a Beis HaMedrash, and one is a Beis HaKnesses. What is the difference between a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash? What is the difference? Today, it's nearly non-existent, nearly. But a Beis HaMedrash is a place that you sit and learn. This is clearly considered a Beis HaMedrash. The place is really meant for learning. Even downstairs is a Beis HaMedrash. It's even called a Beis HaMedrash. Formally, it's not really meant, it's built really for, that's what the definition of Beis HaMedrash is. It's really built, established for learning, Beis HaMedrash, where also tefillahs take place. As opposed to a Beis HaKnesses, which is built for davening, purely for davening sake. And it's even a bit out of place, not out of place, but it's not, it's secondary to learn there. You can't, a real Beis HaKnesses, a purposeful Beis HaKnesses, you can't really learn there. It's not really, it's very uncomfortable.
United,
for instance, it's clearly considered Beis HaKnesses. So you've got a Beis HaKnesses with a Beis HaMedrash. Many shuls, by the way, prefer to establish themselves as Beis HaMedrash, not Beis HaKnesses. For what reason? More flexibility. You can learn, you can eat there. You can drink there. You can sleep there. You can have this far more lenient. But on the other hand, it's far more kodosh. No, on the other hand, it's much more kodosh. A Beis HaKnesses is much more kodosh. Now, in terms of davening, where is it better to daven? In a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash? What is really better? If you can choose. Beis HaKnesses is better. Yeah. So, halachically speaking, that's what Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here. Beis HaMedrash, kavua, kodosh yosim Beis HaKnesses, and mitzvah lispal bo yosim Beis HaKnesses. Vush ispal baso. The Shulchan Aruch says, of course, Beis HaKnesses really is a better place. But, if you have got if your established place is the Beis HaMedrash, and that's where you always daven, and it's an established Beis HaMedrash, you should rather daven there than in the Beis HaKnesses. So it depends on that. As long as, of course, as there is a regular minyan there. Yes.
You've got a makom
kavua, you learn. You're referring to the Gemara, yeah.
How does that fit in with
all this? Again, your question is that if we generally find, so Beis HaKnesses normally is a high level, so
Beis
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, Lemaisa, we're now saying that if your regular place is a Beis HaMedrash, you should rather go to the Beis HaMedrash, despite the fact that the Beis HaKnesset is not. But I'm saying, but you're asking right, this is non-dependent the fact that you are learning there or not. This is Shama, Beis HaMedrash Kavua. Okay, it's a good question. No, your question is a good question. That surely, how does that fit with that rule? Yeah. So, Beis HaMedrash Kavua, Kodosh Yosem Beis HaKnesset, Mitzvah is Balbo Yosem Beis HaKnesset, Vush is Balbo Asof, Kodosh Yosem Beis HaKnesset, Yeah.
Which is the Beis HaKnesset?
A Beis HaKnesset is in Edgware. A Beis HaKnesset is a shul which is purpose built for tefillah. So I don't know all. I'd imagine. I don't know exactly, but I imagine that United is a Beis HaKnesset. I imagine. I don't know about the federation. I don't know which other.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
In the United, they've got the Beis HaKnesset, the main shul, and then they've got. On the other, just on the, as you go through the doors, you've got a base of Medresh.
Right.
But they do, in the mornings, they tend to dive in the base of Medresh.
Right. Yeah. Now, a real Beis HaKnesset, you can actually easily spot by not having mezuzahs. A Beis HaKnesset doesn't need mezuzahs, which is, so if it's a real Beis HaKnesset, there won't be mezuzahs there. Does United have mezuzahs by the main entrance?
It does? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Next time.
Okay. V'yesh oimim da'afilu b'loy aso odif le'ispal v'beis ha'medrash k'vu aloy. He says, no. Beis ha'medrash, if that's where you always daven, you should continue to daven always in the Beis ha'medrash. Despite the fact that a Beis ha'knesset has got a higher level of kedusha. Now he says, what about if you don't have a minion there? What about if your Beis ha'medrash doesn't have a minion? You have got a shul where obviously there is a minion, and there's a Beis HaMedrash where there's no minion, but that's where you normally go. So he says, Tav k'mishu t'yirosum noso, v'einim ispatl b'lavochi. There is a level of a person with a tremendous masmid, a person who sits and learns in the Beis HaMedrash, as we say, 24-7, he's constantly in the Beis HaMedrash. To Yerosirum Nosser, on a very, very extreme level, he is allowed to stay behind in the Beis HaMedrash where he's learning, and not to daven with a minion. Yeah. So that's a person that never does any bittul Torah. Don't do that regularly. Obviously, don't do that regularly. And also, if you do it quietly and privately, that people shouldn't learn from this. People easily misinterpret it. And certainly, don't make a point out of this. I'm such a great masmid, I can daven be a chiddus. I know it doesn't sound. It's interesting that the Moshe Feinstein somebody who seems to have been a very great masmid. The Moshe Feinstein was approached and he asked his time, for me to go to shul and daven and everything takes so much time, and I'm in the middle of learning, I'm writing a sefer, I'm a great masmid. It's not the words he used, but that's what he really wanted to say. I'm a great masmid. And I want to sit and can I daven some tefillos b'yechidus? And Moshe Feinstein said, out of question, totally out of question. He said, but he says, somebody's a great masmid, he's allowed to daven b'yechidus. And Moshe, it doesn't mean nowadays, it doesn't apply nowadays. Do you sometimes take a coffee? Do you sometimes leave seder early? Do you sometimes come to seder late? Does it ever happen? Well, then you're out. It doesn't apply to you this effort. And he said, nowadays this wouldn't apply.
So
I'm not even talking about that level. I'm talking about daven tefillah b'tzibur, but nevertheless, yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. So that's just not talking about tefillah per se. It's talking about tefillah b'tzibur. They say some stories about some gedolim that whilst they were in the middle of writing sforim, I don't know if they are true. They say sometimes about some of the gedolim Yisrael. I've heard about the Chazanish. I've heard about the Chofetz Chaim. It's hard to know if they are true or untrue, but they say sometimes they're so engrossed in sugyas that they were relying on this. I don't know if it's true or not. It's hard to be able to establish. Top of page 246. Yikva, see if you test. Yikva mokom le tefillah, so you should be koveh mokom for your tefillah. Shelo yishaneu, you should not change the place where you daven. Im loy letzorich, unless there is a very specific need. Ve'ein dai, it is not sufficient. It's not only true with regards to a shul where you're davening, you should always have the same place. Elo, only gam beveis hakneses shekavua b'tzorich she'eloi mokum kavua. So it's not just about the shul that you're going to. In that shul, that's my shul where I daven. No, it's more specific than that. And even within that shul, you should have one place where you normally daven. So it's not just which shul you daven should be a mokum kavua, but in fact it should also be within that shul you should have a mokum kavua. Why so? Sifkot Nun Tes Mishneh Berurah says sheken motzinu be'Avraham Avinu shekav mokum letefilot. We also find this with regards to Avraham Avinu. The question. The Mishneh Berurah Sifkot Nun Samach says mokum kavua v'toecha ba'amos choshem mokum echol. It's all within four amos, which is actually quite a lot. So that's four amas. You can have four amas. It doesn't have to be mamash that place. It could be a four amas dive. Yeah. So it's within... yeah, that's right, yeah. But in terms of halachically, four amas is fine. Because you can't be so rigidly strict about one specific place. Now, a couple of points on that halacha. First of all, the poskim... The Gemara says that somebody is poskim bring that. What happens if somebody davens very split in different places? Say you daven shachis in Kol Yaakov, mincha you daven in Deutsche Bank, and Maariv you daven in Shtibel. So and Shabbos also Friday night you daven in Nefesh. And Shabbos day you daven in, yeah. And mincha in koil. So so what does that mean then? So what does that mean? So what does that mean in terms of?
According to what he said, that seems to be wrong because he's saying you should be kaveh a place, and not only the shul but within the shul.
Yeah. So lemaisa, I
sounds like it's possible.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I also learned like that. Interestingly, the poskim are very lenient. They said no. If you're consistently davening shachis there, you're consistently having mincha there, and consistently having ma'ariv there, you could be, potentially, be kaveh mokoyim in every place you own, you could be self, how should you call it? Every tefillah on its own. You could regard every tefillah on its own. And he said that there could be, some person can take it with a linear approach.
The for whatever reason you put
maybe, yeah, they look at it as a tzorich. But they say the concept of having very... So that they bring that point. What about in your own house? Does this halacha apply as well? Do we have a mokum kavua in your house for davening? Yeah. So Mishneh Berurah brings this. The gam chemispal beveisa, even when you're davening at home, sometimes people need to daven at home. They're not well. There's an oiness. Happens sometimes to a person needs to daven at home. Yikva mokum, you should establish a place where you daven at home. Shelo yival belub ne'abayis, that your family shouldn't bother you and should disturb you. It supports concentration. It helps a person to focus and have kavona to have a specific place in your house where you daven. It makes sense to in your house also have a formal place where your davening place is, if that ever happens. Yeah, person should have a place where he davens, yeah? You should put a shtender there and daven, absolutely. Pardon?
Noshim
as well, appetizer noshim as well, yeah? Yeah, absolutely, my wife also, yeah, it should have a mokum kavua. Now, I just want to finish off, I heard from my shver, I don't know where he got it from. My shver told me once, I think it's very, very nice, I don't know whom he's quoting. My father tells me, why is it that somebody who's mokum, is kaveh mokum letfila, the Gemara speaks about tremendous rewards, that Elokei Avom, Be'ezoi, he's got tremendous yat ishmaya, and the tefillahs are miskabel. Why is it that somebody who's kaveh mokum for his tefillah, that his tefillahs are so accepted? So he tells me about, I don't know who he's quoting, he says as follows. He says, what happened? So the person davens in a particular place for many, many years, inevitably, is kaveh mokum. He has that shul, he davens here for days, weeks, months, and years. You daven there for a long, long time. Inevitably, what happens if you daven in a place inevitably? There's no way. It comes to a point, you'll get offended. That's human nature. You didn't get this covered, you didn't get that kibbutz, you felt you deserved this, you didn't get it, you felt you that. It's inevitable. If a person davens many, many years, there could have been already plenty of reasons why a person should have fallen out with the place. And yet you keep on davening there, so that's a tremendous chos. If a person doesn't have a machlok, because he stays there for 5, 10, 20 years, and he could have, could have gone elsewhere, and he said, because of machlokes, and he stays there. That shows anova, that shows bittel, that shows achno, and that's a very great mid. And that's where persons, but anova, that's what supports and helps a person, this tefillah of miskavel. Gentlemen, to summarize what we learned this evening, we quickly summarized the 18 minutes that a person has to be matriach for tefillah betzibu. We also learned that beis hamedrash kavua is kodesh yoyis than a beis hakneses. So if that's your regular place, you continue to go there. The Gemara even adds that somebody is terosim, not somebody is a great masmid. He is a tremendously great masmid. He's allowed to be bevatel tefillah betzibu if he stays in the beis hamedrash, and that's really non-stop. He doesn't interrupt his learning. He is allowed to daven b'yechidus, as long as he doesn't do it publicly and he doesn't make a fuss out of this. Further, we learned that there's a tremendous importance in being koveh mokum netfilah, so he shouldn't change his mokum tefillah. And he should have a mokum kuvua. We learned that even applies if he's davening at home. And the source of that is Avraham Avinu. These were the halachos we discussed this evening. We'll continue with Shem tomorrow. We'll see if Chof. I wish you a very good evening, gentlemen.